if you're just tuning into The Wild Hour, you started the show at the beginning, which is the proper way to tune into The Wild Hour. On tonight's The Wild Hour, we had some fun. JD, or Jason Hour, is coming in disturbingly bad audio's version of lo-fi punk rock, but the dulcet, somber tones of Chris Wilde are coming to you in glorious high-definition audio. Will you be able to get to the end? Will you be entertained? Find out tonight on The Wild Hour. Cue theme song.
Is he doing another show next week? I don't know. Hey, look, here's the thing. Throughout the entire process, he did everything Eddie. He did it exactly like Eddie does it, right? He hit me up.
Poorly.
Hit me up like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this show, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, man, we're getting some fucking, you know why? Because my wife's probably Zooming at the same time. Right. But he hits me up like.
We have too many things open.
No, we're just not me. But anyways, he hits me up like a week or two before, right? Sends me some video footage from the Hour of Power. He's trying to get me to do other things that have nothing to do with this live show, right?
Right.
He wants me to help him with the others. He's like, you know, and it's all about, it's almost like, because I agreed to do this podcast with him, the 500th, which doesn't count as a 500th.
Well, especially if he doesn't release it as a podcast, and which yeah, is where he's going to get most of his listens or views or whatever. Yeah.
So he was all over the map. And then day of, he hits me up and wants me, he needs a theme song. He needs it uploaded to YouTube. He needs all these things. And I, you know, and Chris, it's real easy to slap a fucking video. You know, you just grab a couple images and screw it around, right? I made a stupid video of Eddie, like, slow motion animation surfing across a lake. The W-L-A-K-E-N lake, right?
Right.
So, you know, when the theme song was playing, Eddie was on a surfboard, right? Surfing across W-L-A-K-E-N's lake, and the wildhour.com watermark was in the bottom right corner.
Lake Minnebunkwunk.
And Eddie was like, what the fuck is this shit? And I'm like, well, it's a community, right, bro? I knew I had to plug it when I could. You know, okay, you right. Fuck. You wasn't.
This is his podcast page, and there's Talking Shit, episode 500. You can't really see it because it's blown out. Talking Shit, it. 500th reunion episode announcement, six minutes long.
Oh.
He's not even going to fucking release it.
That's a good idea. Actually, I wanted to do shit like that.
Subscribers.
I wanted to do shit like that for our subscribers. Put out like 5-minute things, just a Boris Bogdanovich commercial for 5 minutes or one, and just put it up there. So like when they're listening to NPR and they got us on their.
I mean, you could definitely take Body Touchers and release it.
Body I will. Touchers, I will. I will release the Body Touchers play, the radio play. Fuck yeah.
You should. By the way, we can redo the audio for that, so it's perfect. I can just send you the audio files.
Yeah.
If I can find the script.
Hey, dude, I'm not against, because, you know, you can run. I know you have an older machine, but the first time we recorded, I was recording into Logic and Zoom at the same time. through the same mic, through the, like, the computer can handle all of that. So you can get your good audio at the source as well as me grab a copy.
Right.
You know, and then I could say my copy's backup and your copy's prime, because like mine's going to have brrr in it every once in a while, you know?
I think that there might be something to that where we like just release an episode of Body, like just Body Touchers episode one as a standalone.
Bro, we should produce all good audio. Plays we come up with, because we're retarded and this is what we can do. Then all those other comedians can't.
But also, we could encourage, like, it'd be good to encourage fans to like do videos for their favorite pieces of audio.
I really do want the fans. The fans, and they're not. Well, some of them are fans, but most of them are listeners, right? But I do want them to engage, and I want them to have fun. That's what the whole point of us. We said it the first time we talked about this show, was the point was to have fun. We didn't ask for a dime, ever. We still have it.
Nope.
So, we're doing this for ourselves and for the fans. Period. Like really. Not even like a bullshit thing.
It's bullshit.
But anyways, this fucking song, I really like it. It's got, I'm really sad.
Burn a copy real quick and send it to me.
Oh yeah, you know what? I will.
I'll listen to it and do a track and send it back to you just without it underneath.
Yeah, but I didn't get all the stuff in it. That's the problem. Okay. It's only like the bass line. It's like literally not, I literally just laid down a little lick for you to hear. So hold on. I have a lot more work to do to it, but because the bridge isn't complete yet, like I just kind of went somewhere. And I'm not 100% on it, but let's bounce this out and fuck it. No, I was motivated after doing that show, being like, oh my God, we're so much better.
Well, it was just amateur hour.
It's so amateur. It was such a mess.
I don't even know Brian McCarthy. I maybe met him once.
And I'm gonna say something about that shit. I gotta tell you about Brian McCarthy. Brian McCarthy is a rich guy from New York that Eddie became friends with because he's a debaucherous scumbag, and Eddie loves those guys, right?
That's why him and Jim got along so well.
Probably. Jim and I got along because we like comic books and video games. But anyways, Brian McCarthy, when I met him, was an absolute prick to me, on and off the show.
Right.
He made no secret to anybody that he did not like me. He said I was a barnacle clinging to the bottom of Jim Jeffries' career. Right? That's what he said about me. And when we did the Vegas show, when the moment of like, when I was like, you know those moments where you're like, oh my God, I'm playing the Strip. I'm actually gonna do a show on the Las Vegas Strip with one of the best comedians in the world. That was like, I was so excited for that shit.
It was amazing. Dude.
We did it. We did it in the Napoleon Room at the Paris Hotel or whatever. And
who was on the bill?
Just Jim, Maddie, and I.
That's amazing.
I mean, we had fans come up on the stage and do stuff, and I think there was some guests maybe, but I don't remember.
So McCarthy was just there.
Yeah, he was there. He was a guest. That's right. He was a guest because he'd been on Talking Shit too. He came to Venice to do it. Because what it does is he came to L.A. because he produced that softcore porn for Cinemax. That's what he did with his dad's money, you know? He made softcore porn that makes no money. So,
dude, the money is in hardcore porn.
I know. The money is in fucking hardcore prostitution and trafficking, really. But anyways. and that's money, what he is. He's one of those guys that goes on fucking prostitution vacations too, right?
Hold on, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, you going over to the garage like that, that's such a good B-roll shot. Just you, like, just that little fucking
sea of light.
Like, I heard some voiceover. He was a lonely man. Anyways, let me get to the point of this, because this is where the real thing happens.
Yeah.
Vegas, right? Biggest night of my life as a person trying to get into the entertainment industry.
Dude, doing a show in Vegas like is like doing a show on Broadway. Like, there's like a certain luster and lore to it. It's exciting.
My name was on a bill in Vegas, you know? Amazing. I was like so fucking excited. So anyways, we have the show. I take my hits. I let an NCAA football player punch me in the stomach like an idiot. I saw stars, bro. Never been hit that hard in my life. Anyways.
Why would that be entertaining? Why would that be an idea?
I don't know how it started. But it was an old high school thing that we used to do. We used to do that in high school.
Vegas, you want to have a football player punch the stars of the show in the stomach as part of the act?
I did not want to.
Well, I know, but like, why would Jim and Eddie even let that happen? Why do you even know? How do you even talk to those guys?
Exactly. So anyway, because you know what?
That's fucked, dude.
Machiavelli, Sun Tzu.
I came up with Knoxville and I just didn't understand Jackass. Like, why are these guys hurting themselves? Why don't they just be funny? But you know,
because you're from a nice neighborhood, bro.
People are idiots, man.
I lived in Ohio for a long time and I saw
I came from a shithole, but we moved out.
Okay. Yeah. I came from a shithole and then we moved across the tracks, but those kids were just as dumb as far as I can remember. But so we go to Vegas, do the show. Show's a hit. We do two sold out sets, right? And then the club next door comps us a VIP section, right? And we have bottle service. Like $1,800, like it's so stupid, the price of bottle service. And we're in there with our little belted area. And then, of course, we're friends with Kelly Jones, who manages the Hustler Club. So then we go from the club to the Hustler Club. We're there until the fucking sun comes up almost, right?
Right.
And it's at the end of the day. Everybody's gone except for me and Brian McCarthy, right? And we're leaving. And I realize my wallet fell out of my pocket while I was, like, sitting with a bunch of strippers, right?
Oh. They
hooked us up. No, they hooked us up so good, man. They put us in, like, Larry Flint's room. Like, he had his own special, like, VIP room.
So you're hoping that one of the strippers takes solace on you and returns your wallet to you.
These were the prettiest dancers in town, dude. They really
Vegas
were pretty.
Has got the hottest strippers.
So, yeah, they all live here. They do yoga here and act like they're hippies. And then on the weekends, they drive to Vegas and the other side comes out.
Fly to Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But anyways, I go, Brian, my wallet fell out. Hold on. I'll be right back. The cab is coming, right? I run back in. Like, the girl, one of the girls is coming to the door. Hey, you know.
Hey, you dropped your wallet.
Because we were guests. We weren't, like, people that were just, you know, walking in off the street. We were hanging out with the DJ, and, like, we were part of the thing. We were having fun.
I get it.
And so she hands my wallet, and I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, this was, like, 35 seconds maybe, right? I get out the door. He's gone. I had to walk.
He couldn't even have the cab just wait 30 seconds.
No, he didn't want it. He didn't want to ride with me. He's like, fuck that.
Right.
Guy. And then, like, so I walk out. I walk out of the club, and I go, and I just fucking walk back to the other side of the strip, which is, like, miles.
No, I know.
And I see tweakers. I see all kinds of crazy pre-dawn activity.
Yeah,
like, God damn,
Vegas,
this place is, like,
Vegas style.
Zombies, dude. Scary people out there at 5 a.m. on the streets of Vegas. So, I get back to the hotel, and the Hmongs won't let me in my room. So,
Jesus Christ. And not only that, you got punched in the gut on stage. Like, what a...
How do you even know
Eddie still? By the way, I blocked him on all forms of social media, and I deleted his contact information from my phone for the sole reason of, A, he asked me to host some ocean benefit show at the Comedy Store. I said yes. I was going to introduce the stand-ups and then, you know, do comedy in between. And then the day of, he said, the Comedy Store doesn't allow hosts. Part of me knew that, like, he was going to fuck me over, so it didn't even register. But that was strike one.
Is that even true?
That is true. Oh, I don't know if it's true about the Comedy Store. But regardless, that was strike one. And then strike two was him reaching out to me and saying, do you want to do, are you interested in doing the 500th? And I said, very. And he said, you know, I want to see if I can get the guys paid to be guests. And I was like, cool. I'm available from now till September. That's my line. And then he never got back to me and he did it without me. That's strike two. I don't stick around for strike three. I am too old and I give less fucks than most. And I will not get a strike. I don't grant strike threes from anybody except for my stupid wife and my son. So I,
I want
to is done. You don't have any strikes against you. The only, you have a blemish on your untainted record of phoning in quantity over quality, just because I get it. You're overworked and underpaid Bob Cratchit. I totally get that. And I vented it out on my own show. And I love you. I love you. You're a very good friend of mine. And I really am very impressed by
that's why
your
I said, I hear you.
Production you prowess. That
shit, I said, what I say back to you?
Yeah.
I hear you. And I meant it.
I,
and that's why I wrote Super Duper Missile.
I don't understand. Like, look, I don't even like, I, if you go back in time, you're like, oh, fucking dude's gotten way more than three strikes. I mean, that talking shit about Eddie Ift was my idea that we had on Talking Shit. I literally said it on Talking Shit. Maybe Lachlan was there when I said it. Eddie pretended to be cool and go along with it. And then Lachlan ran with it and made it happen. And you and Eddie were divorced at the time. Jim and Eddie were divorced and are still divorced.
Yeah, that was like my, I was doing the AOP with Steve Gargano at the time. And I was not on Talking Shit.
You were not on Talking Shit for a long time.
I didn't talk to Eddie for a year. I would not talk to him for a year. And
that was the first time I realized, oh my God, this fucking guy is a coward. And he claimed, oh, I showed it to my team, as he calls them, of his agents and managers. And they said, you'd be a fool to publish this, which is a complete lie. That's a total lie. Because anyone who has any savvy in entertainment would say, oh my God, you've got Jim Jefferies.
Yeah.
Your co-host, Jason Auer, Chris Wilde, Lachlan Patterson, all roasting you behind your back on your own show, on your own thread. That is genius. That is so never been done before.
Fuck yeah.
Jim Jefferies is a massive comedy star, like literal massive comedy. Like, yes, publish that. Yes, advertise, get fucking Squarespace commercials, whatever. Like, come on. That's a no brainer, dude.
It was righteous. And you know, I knew it was going to go that way. I told Lachlan it was going to go that way.
I just wish that any of us would have been recording to, or at least if fucking stupid ass Machete, I hate Machete to this day because no one has that file. Only Eddie has that file.
Oh, I'm sure Ernie has it. I'm sure Ernie has it. Ernie has everything. He kept a copy of everything, dude. There's no, like, that's the thing. He's like, he's just sitting on it.
Yeah. Well, we need it.
Well, he wants to make money off it someday. Like, sell it to a documentary crew or some shit, I think.
No one will ever pay him for that.
Yeah.
No one. Even Eddie put it up for sale, supposedly.
Yeah, somebody, actually, that guy, our number one fan, our number one listener, our friend of the show.
Marty McGill,
who, by the way, is like, I was like retweeting some of his shit last night because he was, he caught me, he tuned me on to like some fucking crazy shit that's going on. But anyways, he has all of them. He was one of the people that bought the 499 episodes on a drive or something like that.
Nice. So, dude, he deserves to hear Talking Shit about Eddie Ift. That, I had such good material about Eddie Ift being the son of Pittsburgh's least successful clown hooker. And his dad was a gay guy who lost a bet and fucked the Pittsburgh's least successful female clown hooker. And that's how Eddie Ift was born. Like, I had really weird roast. Like, no one was roasting Eddie like I was roasting him. It was, and you were there, but it was really weird.
I'll be straight with you, brother. I was afraid to do anything because I didn't want to deal with it. I just don't want to hear it.
Well, Jim, and,
you
and
know,
I,
we weren't even
Jim
talking
and
about
I did
time,
not
and
pull
still,
any punches.
And he's still, I was not even his friend at that point, in, as far as I was concerned, and I still, my texts were blowing up with like, betrayal, you betrayed me. Are you ready? Tell me if you can hear this one.
It was, I mean, everyone was there. How come he didn't say Lachlan betrayed him?
I betrayed. Hold on, here we go. Is that coming through like shit, huh?
It's not coming through at all.
That's so weird. This is not working the way
just I was hoping. Email it to me.
I will. Jeez, bro. I got to do two things, though.
I don't understand.
I got to go into it, and I got to make it into an MP3.
Dude, at one point, you could do anything on Zoom with Jeff Richards.
No, I know, but I forgot. I don't know. I must have been in the zone that night. Because like all the shit that I was doing with that, like I just don't remember like where those things are. I'm gonna do one of the videos.
I don't think Eddie would even come on the show, to be quite honest, because he's so selfish. So weird.
Yeah, I'm over it. I will
be honest, if he were to come onto the show, I wouldn't even talk to him. I'd just talk to you and I would ignore him.
That'd be hilarious.
He is literally, he's persona non grata. He is dead to me. I don't wish death upon
his family. I believe that's persona au gratin.
He is potato au gratin. He is delicious and cheesy.
He's potato au gratin that was left outside for weeks.
I love au gratin potatoes.
Oh.
Dude, O'Grady au gratins?
You look Acadian. Are you like a fucking Huguenot or some shit like that? You look like it.
Swedish.
Okay, well, you could still be
Polish.
Did you do the
Irish? All the top ishes.
Oh yeah, all those ishes that.
And then German.
Ish. Yeah, that's all like Crusade blood right there, I think.
Yeah, Crusades was Hans Wilde's idea.
It's like I'm like wickedly Irish and Scottish, right? Like my genes are like in the. That's where I mostly don't like a little bit of French and Norwegian, you know that stuff.
But then a little bit of French but in then my like this, life.
But then I have like this drop of blood from the Straits of Gibraltar. It's like, what the fuck?
Oh, you're clearly a descendant of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Clearly a descendant
man from
of
Galilee.
Some poor fuck that
put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water.
Or he fucked his way there and he fucked his way back. And that's how
I got. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. I hear it now.
I'm playing the piano?
Yeah, I hear that clear as day.
Interesting. How about if I do this? How about if this... Now listen.
I heard it. No, I don't hear it.
No?
I heard it at the end. It's coming in waves for some reason.
That's so... Maybe it's just too much information or it's just a bad connection because of the... Like, well, there's... I mean, there's a pandemic. There's riots. My wife is working. There's a lot going on.
I there's just no possible way the riots make it to where we live.
I hope so, man.
I don't even know that the white supremacists, the Antifas, the whatevers.
Okay, no,
let's just these sleepy beach communities exist, Jason.
Yeah, no, there's a small amount. I used to actually play World of Warcraft with a bunch of guys that lived in Redondo Beach, and they were pretty racist. I didn't know it until the end.
I mean North Redondo, though. The Redondo Beach that's by the highway.
You go back 30 years, Chris, and South Bay is a lot of rednecks, dude.
Well, yeah. It used to be like poor people. Like this was like Manhattan Beach and Hermosa. Were
people that worked at the refineries and people that worked at the different factories and stuff.
And you're like, how could poor people live on waterfront property in Southern California?
Because they were drilling oil right there too, man. There were derricks off the coast of Venice.
Yeah, dude, they ripped apart our sweet, sweet land. Our beautiful.
You still
oceans.
Get tar in your feet down here.
Yeah, we do. Not me. I got my eyes peeled for it. I've been burned too many times before by that tar beach.
I got a plotch on my back once. That sucked. And because I got a hairy back too, right?
Yeah.
It just sucks. It's like a free waxing from nature, but like, dude.
Tar Ted. They called you Tar Ted. Regarding Tar Ted or retarted.
Retarted. I'm speaking of retarted. I did not sleep last night.
I slept in my son's bed in his room while he and my wife slept in the master bedroom.
Fucking shit.
While my parents, yeah.
Same thing.
Dude, I got to be honest. Like, I get great night's sleep in that cozy little single bed of
my son's. No, his bed, my son's bed is way.
Oh, cozy.
He's got one of those Jesus people foam pads on top. You know, the MyPillow guy.
No. Oh, okay. I was like, I don't know Jesus people foam pads. I don't know what the hell
that's
you
a
just
good
said.
Commercial. Jesus people now that makes foam sense. Pads. There we go.
Hi, brothers and sisters. It's me. Reverend Michael Huckabee Johnson. You know, are you tired of sleeping on mattresses that weren't blessed by ordained ministers? Well, guess what? Jesus People Mattress Covers proudly presents Chosen Softness. That's right, Chosen Softness. If you can stick your finger in the hole of the hand of your Lord and Savior, you can crawl onto this beautiful rectangle of softness. Yes, Jesus People Mattress Covers, chosen by Him, capital H, as in Jesus Christ. Those poor people are getting ornery in the streets, lighting the holy fires of Satan. Only one way to deal with it is to get a good night's sleep on the Jesus People Mattress Covers. The softness is chosen.
Holy shit, dude. And Eddie decided to book Brian McCarthy, who all he did was show a guy fucking another guy in the ass on his screen, like some gay porn shit, and then he was gone. And it was like, that guy's not funny. He's obnoxious. And he's probably one of Epstein's clients.
So weird.
Ugh. Yeah, I'm over that.
And
shit.
Joe was twirling a gun and putting it in his mouth.
That upset me a lot. Even if it's, I just, you know what? I grew up with guns, Chris. I was
anti-gun.
I was a New Hampshire kid, dude. It wasn't even a question. Nobody was anti-gun. I remember when fucking Wilson brought his fucking .22 rifle to fourth grade show and tell, and everybody got to hold it.
Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ could walk on water, but also sleep on the soft mattress of Jesus People Mattress Covers? When Jesus parted the, oh, was that Moses? That's too Jewy. Let's New Testament it up. Let's New Testament it up a bit. How about when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John got super sleepy from walking around in their open-toed sandals and leading the flocks, they laid down on Jesus People Mattress Covers, the chosen softness of the Creator. On the seventh day, God rested, and it was good, because He, capital H, lay down on Jesus People Mattress Covers. By God, buy them today at JesusPeopleMattressCovers.com. That's right, we don't want Jews sleeping on us, or Muslims. No Muslims or Jews get sleepy. Only Christians get sleepy. That's exactly who I'm talking about, Jason. My God. Not their God. Our God. Our white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed God. The right God. Not the left God. That God left because atheists don't believe in Him. So He left because their God's Twitter. And there's only one true God. That's the white God. Angler God, I call Him. He sleeps with whoever he wants to, mostly virgins who totally let him. It's not weird at all. On Jesus People Mattress Covers. Jesus People Mattress Covers. The choice of Antifa. Anti-farters.
I will never. Yeah, no, it's A-N-T-I-P-H-A.
Dude, I am anti-gun and anti-fascism. Does that mean that I am a terrorist?
No, technically you can't even label a domestic group as a terrorist group. There's no law supporting it. So he's an idiot. So whatever.
I'm too old to peaceful protest.
Dude, I mean, does anybody
remember? Don't want to go get COVID.
Exactly. It's like, this is like, you guys remember World at Work on the curve?
You know what I'm going to do is, you know what I'm going to do is vote him out of office. That's the best thing to do.
By mail.
By men and by God today.
By mailing.
By Jesus.
That's the end of the, that's it. Cut that into the fucking mattress. By Jesus.
Yeah, I don't understand Eddie If, man. I don't get him.
Yeah.
He, I mean, what was the thing about, did he really send you Talking Shit 300 to look at, or did you just do that on your own?
I did it on my own.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, because.
Okay. I thought he said, take a look at this and the Talking
Shit. Oh, no, he sent me this video, this kid cut of the Hour of Power Across America footage.
What did he bring to the table other than trying to get paid? And there's no way, by the way, he cuts anyone any checks.
Oh, I know. I was going to actually tweet out today, like, how many people were there? Let's do some math. Because I don't know how much AVCYMCA Live does for fucking, if they have a cut or what they do facilitate. And I'm sure there's a piece, but I'm sure that Eddie spent more than the show made.
Spent on what?
I mean, it just in his life. It's just like, he says, I spent more than the show made. And that's an open end. That's how the right wing does it. They leave an open-ended statement. Technically, yeah, he did. In his life, he's spent more than the show made.
He's a dick, dude. He's a piece of leather that has shit on it that can speak.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with this.
He needs to be taken to the shoe shine. They need to shine his leathery shoe coverings.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where he doesn't sleep. On the Jesus People mattress covers.
Hey, you want to? Can I tell you what? Remember when I sent you that text? I was like, the guy did all this
shit. He's Eddie Atheist.
I'm going to back-to-back smoke here because of you.
I haven't smoked in forever, and you won't let me to come up to the Liftmaster Studios because you think I'm riddled with COVID.
No, I don't think that you're riddled with COVID.
Yeah, you do.
I just like to err on the side of caution. Is that just too much to ask?
You think I am head-to-toe COVID-19. I'll probably be dead in 2 weeks. The first time we did a show in the pandemic, you literally thought we would be dead by Friday, and we were talking on Tuesday. Like, you literally thought that, and it wasn't an exaggeration.
Yeah, well,
think I'm head-to-toe COVID-19. You think I'm going to put your wife in danger. Now, to be fair,
do you realize this is why I'm happy?
Your wife is diabetic, and 1 in 10 diabetics who get COVID-19 die. So I completely understand your paranoia, and you like your wife. So I don't,
she's cool, man. We get along.
I don't get it, but I understand.
You know how lucky you are? I mean, like, I didn't want to rub that in your face. I mean, all
do I know how lucky I am? What'd you say?
We are.
Oh, we are. You and your wife.
Yeah, and then I stop.
You're not me. I'm not lucky. I don't like
my wife. I know. You're not in a happy place, right? I'm sorry.
She can be nice.
Yeah, oh, everybody's capable of sweet.
She makes me feel like I'm emotionally needy when I say things like, I need you to be nicer to me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I'm not going to be such a fucking victim here, dude. Nice guy.
I say the same exact, like, I slept in my kid's bed last night. I say the same things to my wife. Wow. We are meant to do a show together, huh?
The majority of women who are married will complain about their husbands not being affectionate. That is a blanket yet true statement. Maybe the husband wants to get laid every now and again, and he can at the local bar, so he comes home and tries to fuck his wife.
Yeah.
But that's not affection.
Right.
I am constantly chasing my wife around the house, hugging her, kissing her, trying to grab her butt.
I get grief for how horny I am.
I just want to hug her. I just want to hug her and embrace her. And it's like, fine. Like, she sighs and goes, and then she like gives me like the friend pat. All right, that's enough. You're getting cut off now.
Well, like,
fuck you, bitch.
Okay. I mean, that's just sounds like childhood stuff. But
oh, it's all childhood stuff. And all I want her to do is get therapy so she can get over her stupid childhood stuff. Because she has a great adulthood. Thanks to me.
Sometimes we encounter conflict when we're super nice to people that are conditioned to not receive that. They're conditioned for other things.
Right. And I'm gonna switch, super nice. I'm gonna switch gears here. How much has Marty Miguel paid to the show? This particular show, our show. How much has he given you?
Yeah, all in. He's given us $450 to date.
Amazing, dude. And you gave 50 to me, which I'm very grateful for, and you pocketed 400, obviously, but I know you put it back to the show.
Well, there's 100 floating out there in the ether. And I get it, man.
Yeah. You pay for all the bells and whistles of all these programs, and I know you're out there trying to
get
the cheapest version of the best thing. I totally get that.
Yep.
And I know that it helps. You know, you are a tech guy at the end of the day.
We needed good tools. I'm sorry. I mean, and they're affordable. Like, I was willing. I paid for it up front out of my own pocket. And then Marty Miguel donated a shitload to the show, and
amazing.
That offset like Logic was $200, you know, Premiere's $20 a month. Our hosting.
When you say Logic is $200, though, that's a one-time fee.
That's right? A one-time purchase. That's why I switched off of. I was using Audition, which I really liked.
I
didn't want to learn Pro Tools.
I think that the jog and sound, yes, it's your wife is Zooming and working and taking up your Wi-Fi, but I don't have a strong Wi-Fi signal. I don't have a Wi-Fi port in Tiki Hut Studios.
Somewhere around here, I have a very long Cat 5 cable.
I wouldn't know what to do with
Ethernet. It plugs into your computer and then plugs into the router directly. How many feet away is the router? 50?
35? Let's see. 10 feet is a basketball hoop.
You could get
75 max.
You can get 100
max.
You could get 100 foot of Cat 5 cable that's insulated to go outside from Radio Shack or wherever online. And believe me, just for not just for the Wild Hour, but for all the things that you do, it might be just better for you to have...
Into the actual modem, right? That modem is in my living room because I figured, well, this is where I watch TV and I want my TV to have the strongest Wi-Fi signal. Okay. And that's where we chill out in the living room, and we, you know, my wife and kid do their work and school from home in the living room. So I wanted the Wi-Fi signal to be strong, but I'm out here in the garage, which is the furthest point away, basically, with the roof on it.
I'm thinking about doing it.
How would I, like, I would, what would I have to go through? Like, I would need to find a hole in the wall.
No, man. You run it up.
The door open.
I mean, a Cat 5 cable is super thin, right? That can go, you can shut a window on it.
Okay, maybe.
Quarter inch drill hole. I mean, and then just put a little fucking cock in it. What I'm saying is, 802.11g technology, it's like, it's affected by weather, it's affected by, you know, moisture, it's affected by variables, whereas a hard line connection to the router gives you the biggest pipe, period, right to your computer.
Oh, yeah, dude. And honestly, like, my Wi-Fi is so weak that I'm actually just... It's my neighbor's Wi-Fi that I know the password to is stronger in my garage. So I just, in my garage, get my neighbor's Wi-Fi. Secrets of the Tiki Hut Studios. The strongest Wi-Fi I have would obviously be just right next to my port, but there's just too much shit going on in my house and there's no privacy.
No, you don't want to do that. You got to be away from everybody.
One day I'll try a hard wire, but...
Would you like to try Hardwire?
I mean, just the commercial for Jesus People mattress toppers.
But see, that's what happens every time we talk. Every time we talk.
I'm also like an improviser. And I don't, not that I ever go on a stage and improvise.
And I'm an enabler.
You're an enabler. I'm an improviser. None of that shit happened on Saturday night. You didn't have any improvisers.
I improvised some stuff.
But exactly.
I had a hat routine going for a minute.
Which I'm sure people shit on.
when Lachlan came out.
Didn't encourage.
I put on the exact same hat he had on.
Did anyone do comedy?
Lachlan.
Okay.
Yeah, Lachlan, I mean, is, you know, 30 people found out about his special.
Mm-hmm. You had fun. It was just you and your buddies hanging out. I just think it's weird that Eddie, like, I just hate Eddie Ift. I want him to, I do want him to die.
No.
I don't want his wife and kids to die, but I want his wife and kids to know a world without Eddie in it.
No, I'm so cutting that out. That's just
not I want him to die.
No, come on. Bro. You're too well thought to think like that.
All right, fine. I want him to be killed.
You know, the Bible says that to pray for your enemy because in doing so, you heap burning coals upon his head.
Wait, what?
In the Bible, it says to pray for your enemy because doing so heaps burning coals upon his head.
All right. I pray for Eddie's success. I just know it's never going to happen for him. He doesn't have the gift.
He doesn't need it.
He is not gifted. I've seen him do stand-up comedy, and I was like, I was actually impressed. I was like, oh, my God, he's much better at stand-up than I thought because I just assumed he would be horrible at it.
He's a good stand-up.
He's such a fucking asshole who hates success and is rude to his friends.
But he can do a set.
He can do a set. I mean, it's not for everybody, but it was for me. I enjoyed it. It was for me.
If he just went a little more conservative with his material, he would take off.
Disagree.
If he just went full Trumpy, he'd probably have a huge fan base.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess
look at the quality of the work that's coming out of that camp. None of their guys are that good. Their best talent's Alex Jones, in my opinion.
But he's not like Jeff Foxworthy or Larry the Cable Guy or any the white blue collar comedy tour guys. Eddie's not that. He's not that talented. He's not that funny. He couldn't do an hour. He couldn't keep your attention for 30 minutes.
He'd be the Dane Cook of the Republican Party.
Dane Cook is much more magnetic.
Right. He's good. I actually liked his. I saw his set once before all the hate came out about him. And I thought he was funny.
Yeah, people, I had friends who liked him. And they got to listen to this. It just wasn't for me. But I could see this guy's got star power. He's got,
You know how he hooked me in on that set that I saw? He went to Whalum Park as a kid, which is in, like, Massachusetts. It's this shitty, old, like, really shitty, small ride park, right?
Right.
And my grandma rode the roller coaster back in, like, 1930. The same, like, one that I rode. And it's gone now, but, like, to hear it, I got nostalgia. You know, who are you pulling in here?
Just trying to soundtrack your story.
Oh, yeah. You like that bass? Or the key? That's just the fucking piano. Wait till I lay some guitar in there and some bass and some stuff.
Super duper missile.
Yeah, no, like, it goes, bop, da, 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 da. I'm like, super duper, duper, super, super duper. Just like real, like, subtles throughout the whole, like, just little super dupers.
Missile rhymes with whistle. Super and duper rhymes with pooper.
Oh, well, whistle is what he's doing right now. They call it dog whistling, right, when you rally the cops?
And is he even rallying the cops?
Yo, no,
white supremacists.
I saw a little thing that he went around on
saying it was MAGA night at the White House, except for nobody from MAGA showed up.
No, I found out there's something that came up last night. Through the Department of Justice, they've been pressuring the police to be tougher for years. They've been, like, conditioning them.
Got it.
So it's kind of like, that's why it's a little harsh.
I saw footage of, like, peaceful protesters standing there protesting, which they're right, and then just getting shot at with rubber bullets for absolutely no reason.
I was up all night
flabbergasted,
just retweeting every incident of that I could find, just retweeting that shit. like all the innocent attacks by the police. Like, you know what? You started the fight.
You're allowed to you're allowed to stand on the street and hold a sign. I don't understand what that. Maybe the justification was they're out after curfew. Let's shoot them with rubber bullets. I don't know, man. That was fun.
Well, Marty Miguel sent tweeted something at me, and it was these people were on their porch in Minnesota, and the cop was like, "Get inside," but they're on their property.
They're on their porch,
and they pelted them.
Jeez Louise.
Like, you just shot him. Like,
I mean, they killed a woman, hit her right between the eyes with a rubber bullet. I saw that.
Oh, is that what happened?
I mean, I'm not saying it was that incident, but they killed a woman with a rubber bullet.
Yeah, you're supposed to. They're not. Well, one, they're not supposed to be used, period.
And they pepper sprayed a child.
And pepper spray is technically been banned by the world. And we signed that agreement.
I use assault spray. And then I have a pepper shaker.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, it really brings out the flavors.
A little mist. You know, salt is also a natural tenderizer for me.
Love me tender. Salt me, cop. But please don't pepper spray my kid.
That's why I stayed home.
I know two kids from my graduating high school class that are cops. One's like a detective. And he wasn't an asshole, honestly.
Yeah, no, I got a family member that was a chief, and he's all right. But it was a small town, a really small town, you know.
I went to a boarding school. There was only 9 kids in my grade. We were all thick as thieves. It was a real band of brothers, which is why I'm nice to people, because it was all 10 kids from 10 different walks of life, 10 different income levels, 10 different
perspective and empathy,
geolocations, different races. We were all Christian. That was the only thing we had in common, and that we could sing. But other than that, we were a band of brothers, and we got along. I got along with the kids I didn't even get along with because I knew we were in it together. I don't know, man. That's why it's really shocking that I want Eddie to die. So
no, you don't want Grizzly. Anybody to die, dude. You don't want to put out the thing because
ED die. Eddie.
Everything.
How do you spell
Eddie?
ED die. That's how I spell Eddie.
Everything you put out comes back. I want everybody to be happy.
There's lots of room in Hollywood for everyone to succeed. There's lots of channels. There's lots of platforms. I want everybody's comedy show to make people laugh and to be good. And I wish Eddie nothing but success. It has so far eluded him. I don't think he should come on our show, and I honestly don't think he would anyway. He would make up some excuse. But if this was a show where we talked about lifting up a heavy tire that was on a truck once and then climbing up a rope and then running around in a circle for 10 minutes and we called it CrossFit Cast, he'd be on it in a heartbeat. Fucking old, ugly Eddie. And honestly, you can barely notice his wife's lazy eye. Like, it's not even that.
Okay. You know.
I put the fan on to get a little air. It's a little steamy in the tiki hut. I would like to take the microphone and laptop out to the tiki bar. So many fans from Australia. Is there social and civil unrest down under? I don't know. IDK. Good on ya. Boys, girls, spiders. Spiders with earpods.
You know what? Our second largest download burst on the last...
How's the surf down there, boys and girls and spiders with earbuds?
We
you know, they've got... You know, the registered voter in Australia, they vote for prime minister, is a boy or a girl of the age of 13 or a spider who can walk on two legs. They've registered them to vote.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Well, when you lean into the cartooniness, you kind of go across the pond from New Zealand to Australia. Good on ya. You know, they don't even drink Foster's in Australia. They drink spider blood. And you know, when you fuck a kangaroo, that's called a love Michelini. Love Michelini do. That's when you put your balls in the pouch of a wallaby. Have you ever knocked the teeth out of a kangaroo and stuck your shaft or your cork down the kangaroo's throat, which is called the Joey? And a Joey is a baby kangaroo, so you don't have to punch too hard and knock his teeth out. But by God, and you should by God, you should by God when you're mattress shopping and get the Jesus People's mattress covers. Now available down under.